You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
This episode of 3 Raw is brought to you by Audible. Sign up for a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500. Now, for my listeners, the book that I recommend for you for this week is called You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life by Jen Scenario. This book is really motivate me a lot for the past few weeks. This book will get you like from your lows to your highs. If you need a book that will lead you to the right direction, this is the book for you. So again, in order for you to get this book, I need you to sign up for a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. So again, go to audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500. What up, though, everybody? Thank you for listening to another episode of 3 Raw Podcast. This is CJ.
Shamaz Rob.
We had a third co-host. He's once again not here again this week. I guess he's pressing his hair or something this week. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But anyway.
Man, shout out to my man, Jimmy.
Yes, his wedding anniversary was this weekend, so he's spending time with his wife.
As he needs to.
Shout out to him. Shout out to Brandon and his wife, Erica Bird. I love those guys, man. I've been friends with them for like a good 5-6 years now. They really cool people, man. Shout out to him, even though he need to cut his hair. But anyway, the voice that you heard laughing in the background, this is a good friend of mine. She has a nonprofit organization called The Live Outreach. How long you been doing this?
Since 2014, and it's the Live Outreach.
The Live Outreach. I'm sorry, guys. I ain't introduced.
See, look at you, man.
See, let me get the introduction.
The first 5 minutes,
right.
You messing up.
See what I'm
look,
saying?
Look, I ain't messing up nothing.
The haircut did something to his personality. Yeah. That's what it was.
Anyway, a good friend of mine, Malika Williams.
Hey.
Hold on. How you been?
I've been great.
That's good. So, your organization. Now, the Live Outreach, the Live part, is actually an acronym I would call it the initialism. I would call it what Live means.
Live. We're going to do this again. It's the Live Outreach. Like, live.
I thought it was like, you know.
So,
learning.
Live is.
Okay.
So, L-I-V-E.
Mm-hmm.
Learning. Okay.
Come on, don't be nervous,
take
girl.
Take your time.
No, because he just threw me off with the lie. You know, everybody always.
I ain't mean to put you on the spot like that, girl. My bad. I do people like that. I ain't mean to put nobody in the spot like that. I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry.
You know it's all good. It's nothing but love. But the Live Outreach. Live is learning to innovate while creating extraordinary valid people.
Yeah. There you go.
It's kind of like long, so it's like the L-I-V-E is like a whole breakdown of it. So it's not actually L is this, I is this, V is that, you know.
Right. That's what I love about it. That's why I wanted to have people to like, you know, understand what's, you know, the organization was about. That's why I was like, I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
No.
You know.
I love the fact that I have the opportunity to be able to share like my story, what inspired me to want to do the Live Outreach. So the Live Outreach was inspired because I was a kid that was in foster care, and a lot of challenges that I faced as far as trying to get on the right path.
Yeah.
As far as like afterwards, because a lot of times people don't think about, you know, once you at a certain age, people kind of like, you know, they think that you already know a lot of things, and sometimes you don't.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly. Especially in foster parents, foster care. I know you've been going to like one house to another. I know that was a struggle for you. I know we've been talking about that for a while. So Like, what are your goals and accomplishments that you're trying to do for this organization?
So, ultimately, I want to get a home in the city of Detroit and, like, rehab it and, like, provide, like, housing for maybe, like, three to four girls. And it'd be, like, an extensive, more, like, personal type of thing. I don't want to have, like, a facility. I don't want my home to be feel like it's a facility where just, like, I'm here for the money. I'm here for, you know, and a lot of times it's crazy because I was in a facility. And so it was people that was there that really made being in the facility really special, you know, because you had people that cared, that really cared about, hey, you in a bad situation, but you're not a bad kid or you're not a bad person.
Right,
you got people in there just like, and that's just like where anywhere you go at work, people care about their job. And then there's some people that don't care about their job. So they lack putting the initiative to do it. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But when you dealing with kids and they are going through a traumatic thing like that, it's like so vital for the people that's surrounded by them to really care in order for them to have the essential growth that they need to be productive. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You think about like how your parent, you know, some things that you didn't understand as a young kid growing up that you understand now as a father yourself, CJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to say, now I understand why my father was maybe like felt a certain way about me being friends with a certain kind of kid, or I couldn't do certain type of things that other kids' parents was letting them do.
That's how my parents was. Yep.
And when you get older, you think about those little incentives is what really made you to be an awesome person. You understand what I'm saying?
I got a story for that. I didn't mean to cut you off, I remember I grew up on the east side and it was rough growing up there. 6 Mile and the Charmers. Shout out to everybody that lived there.
That's some Detroit stuff. Everybody got to shout their hood out.
Exactly. So my mom was very strict on me as far as like, you know, I had to ask to go outside. I had to ask to go out on the street, go to the last block. I'm like, I didn't understand that. And all my friends were able to walk around the neighborhood, go to people's house freely. And I was like, why would my mom do this? You know, as I got older, I see that my mom trying to, you know, influence me to, you know, not to hang out with the wrong crowd, not to, you know, get myself into like peer pressure or drugs or alcohol, you know, drugs or, you know.
Because a lot of times parents are put in a position where their kids have to be in an environment that they really don't want their kids to be in. If you a good parent, just because you live in a project don't make you a bad parent. This is just what your financial situation can afford.
Exactly.
So you trying to give your kids still some type of stability, because psychologically in people's mind, they think just because they live in a project or they live in a hood that they have to have a mentality of the people that live there, but they don't.
Right.
Because everything is mentality wise. As far as like, if you want to be in a neighborhood and you want your neighborhood clean, you setting an example getting up to clean your neighborhood is going to spread to other neighbors. Then the other neighbors going to be like, okay, well, you know, so-and-so cut the grass this week. You know, let's put some initiative. And that it just take for leaders, people to be leaders. And so a lot of times it's just a hard situation because there's so many good people that be in bad situations. Like I wasn't born to think that I would go through a lot of the traumatic things that I went through as a person, but being able to come out of that, knowing that a lot of people wouldn't have been mentally strong like myself, and a lot of people did. You know, you hear about a lot of your friends, they get killed or you know what I'm saying, people on drugs, and you know they kids are taken away, and you know, like they just have a tragic ending. I mean, it's not really an ending, but the way that it's going is like it's really bad. So it's like to come out of something that most people thought was going to be really bad for me, because in the midst of being in foster care, I got pregnant at like 15.
Mm-hmm.
And at 16, I had a baby. And then at 17, I was in jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, facing two felony charges for two counts of attempted murder.
Mm. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so what comes with...
You got a testimony right there.
What comes with... situation comes with emotion. So that's what people don't understand. You got anger and, you know, disappointment and different things like that allows people to have this fuse of certain things that's in them. And a lot of people can't accept that. Like, if you've been through some bad stuff, why do people think that it's just supposed to be like a chippy day every day for you when you didn't have to struggle like your whole life? That's the thing with me. Like, I'm a strong person. So people always be like, oh, you'll be okay. You'll be all right. Like, you know, it's never, I'm never the person.
Looking on the outside in, not knowing what's really going on.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You know? And so it kind of like, it's a good thing to be a strong person, but then it kind of like, you attract a lot of people that, you know, adapt to your personality because it's such a strong personality. So then, like, you basically the strong link of everything. So yeah. You can't never be weak. That's a lot of responsibility for me.
Right. And then growing up, I was always get teased all the time because I used to be so smart and I was nerdy at the time, man. I was very
still
quiet.
Nerdy.
Yeah, I am. You can say that.
You better own that, bro.
I know. I'm saying, you know, I was in there. I ain't had that many clothes. You know, I was, you know, everybody called me a bum, but I'm like, but you a smart kid. You know, I was teased, especially if you like a shy kid, like a laid back kid like me. I took that to heart. But over the years, I kind of, you know, instilled that into me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to roast your ass. When I got to high school, look, I went to Murray Wright.
That's okay. Where I graduated, class of 2000.
Ugh, all right, speaking of that, you going to the picnic tomorrow?
Listen, if it's no gun violence, I'll be there.
Right. And she put the quotations.
Quotations.
You know what I mean? When she said it, so.
You know what?
It Detroit, be lit, man. Though. It do be live.
I know. You know, when I first started high school, I went to Denby my first year of high school.
Listen, I went to Denby like 10th, 11th grade, too.
Oh, my God. See, we got small collections.
See, look at y'all, man. I ain't go to no
Denby. I only went to Denby.
What school you went to?
Yeah, I went to Central, then I went to Highland Park.
HP. Okay.
But see, I'm from the West.
So, yeah, catch the bus.
I know, yeah. You know we mean? Just looking at you funny.
No, you from Dexter, right? No, you from Dexter, right?
Yeah, don't
so
tell
that
the
one
world.
That one far from Central. Okay.
Nah, that's or right HP. Up the street.
Yeah, or HP. Not yeah, that
but
far.
See, I was bad. But it wasn't because me just not being quote-unquote smart. Mm-hmm. It's just like at a certain point in my life, my environment started catching up to me. You know what I'm saying? Peer
exactly.
pressure, different people I was dealing with, different little, you know what I'm saying, situations. So I had to basically do what I had to do
right.
to a small degree, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you grow up, you learn, you live, yep. you know what I'm saying? You mature. A lot of people don't, which is sad, but, you know,
yeah.
I basically caught on early, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
I seen what was going on. I didn't like it for myself, so I just, like, put myself out that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had a whole lot of help, though. I'm not going to lie. My sister was really, really there. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? My mother, my father, to a degree, as much as he could. You know
right.
what I'm saying? But, hey.
And you know what? My father was basically away from my life for like 7 years, from the age of 7 till I was like 13, 14, because my mom and my dad had like a child support situation, well, a custody situation when
right.
it came to me when I was young. So then my mom was moving, so my dad didn't know where we was living. You know, at the time, we ain't want no social media, no cell
right.
phone, so it was hard for him to, you know, keep in touch with me. So it was hard for me because you need a father figure. I needed him to, you know, mold me. And I needed him, like, support. Because right. I couldn't, like, my mom, she did the best she could, but she couldn't do everything. And then my mom worked in doubles. So I was basically at home
by
myself.
And then it's just hard for a mother to understand what's really going on with her son. Definitely a young black man living in America or in Detroit. Or
exactly. And I was
period.
At home by myself. 10 years old, my brothers and sisters moved out already. They was all grown. I was 10, 11 years old by myself at home, 12 midnight, on the east side. Anything can happen, you know.
Anything, everything was happening.
And that's the thing, like, you know,
yeah.
you do what you got to do because you think that was something that your mom would have chose to do if she had a choice to do. Like, no, that'd be, like, sometimes it just,
yeah,
like,
ain't no
you
choice.
Don't have no choice. I don't got nobody, though. And then it's like, you making nickels, so it's really like you can't afford for no babysitter. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, my mom was working. I think she was a nurse aide at the time. She was working all the way out in South Lyon. So, and then by the time she leave, I'll be at home, whatever. And then by the time she get off work, I already been at school. And then by the time I get home from school, she be asleep. So we really don't have that bonding,
mm-hmm.
you know. So my only bonding is like basically like in the streets. But I basically was like with my friends, the friends that I thought that was, you know, was like my motivators, you know.
Right.
And the people that's and their parents. So shout out to them, you know, the parents.
Yeah.
They was
it take
was
a village. They say it take a village.
It take a village.
Do.
And there was a
you over there eating them people food. You owe them some money, CJ.
Play the games, play a little Nintendo 64.
You owe some people, mama.
At
let
least
start,
a bottle of hot sauce.
Listen,
CJ,
let
man.
Me start writing down parents' names so they
right.
can get
right.
their they can get reimbursed.
On,
he an adult now with a job.
Right.
And you know what? That's what made me the person that I am now, because the people in my neighborhood, they really care for us. And it wasn't no negative. Even though we did have negative.
Yeah, it's always
you in a negative environment.
Negative
overall.
Environment. You know, we seen like prostitutes walking up and down Charmers. We seen like pimps. We seen drug dealers. We had a drug dealer move into our house next door. So it was hot all day, all night. People walking in the house, out the house, you know. And I seen that. But I knew that I don't want that in my life. You know, it was always negative because right. They always had like gunfires.
I always say, man, when you in a certain type of situation, you can either learn two things. You can either learn to not do it or you can either learn to do it. You can't blame right. Your environment on how you turn out as a dog sometimes.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes it depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but overall, man, you got to still make them choices. You got to make them decisions.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, it's hard. It's hard being a, to be honest with you, I hate to say it, but it's hard being a, it's tough being a black man or black woman in America, especially with the way we grew up. Because especially in the public school system, Detroit public school system is shitty.
It didn't really went in the toilet, but you know what? I feel like, you know, everything is by numbers.
Hmm. Yeah.
Everything is by numbers. I won't, you know, I feel like sometimes I be thinking crazy, but you know what I was thinking? Let me just tell you what I was thinking. Now, you got the man that work at the light company, right? He gonna go to work, right? Because everybody get up, they go to work, right? You go to work to do whatever you do. Everybody mm-hmm. got a position where they play that they basically, this is how the world function. If you think about it, the world can't function if then nobody get up and go to work every day.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So you get up and you go to work. Okay, the light man going to work. So he coming, he get his list of the shut off, the people that's getting the shut off.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Okay, I'm on the list to get shut off on the list, right? So he come to my house to shut it off. But if you think about it, if ain't nobody went to work, can't nobody shut off nothing because ain't nobody there to function what's needed to be going on. So it's kind of like we kind of do everything to ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, how that's is it not that's enough true. Food? How is it people homeless when we the one who build the houses? We the right. one who make the money. Like that, to me, psychologically, that's why mm-hmm. you know that's why it's politics is and it's a system. Because if you think about it, even though it would be just easy for everybody can eat and all of that, but it's still like the problem is so significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You got places that
the system
okay,
is not
so
supposed to fail.
Capitalism.
This is what I'm saying. And if Period. You got people that's
yep.
mentally ill and they is on the street, most of the people that are homeless is mentally ill. Who do you know that's just homeless on the street that you know that's in their right mind, like me or you, just psychologically? No. Nobody right. I know likes to sleep up under a bridge. Nobody that I know.
Right, me either.
That's what I'm saying. So this is the thing.
They'll
like,
make a way.
And it's the people in the community, everybody want to talk about it, but really people don't want to be the person that go out and say that. Like, don't nobody want to say, because every person that goes out and take a limb on something, if you ever notice, like, any of our main leaders, they try to kill them. I'm so thankful they ain't killed Barack, I swear.
Right.
Because they hated him. And it's like, I felt like Barack was the perfect person to represent us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like, somebody just fixed him. You know, we're going to make his nose look like this. We going to, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know about all that nose stuff, man, but I know what you're saying. Like, you know, I wasn't watching his chin. Not me. You know what I mean?
It's a figure of speech to say that he represented us with pride and integrity, and people was proud of the president that he was for him to represent, like, me being here. Like,
yeah.
Who's to say when that'll happen again? So
he motivated me a lot. I graduated college, you know. I seen that he was a family man. I'm like, I want that. I said it before he became president, but that molded me. Like, I mean, I need a family like that. I need a love family dog and stuff like that. You know, run around the yard.
Why he gotta put his hand down like the dog? In
right. A family dog. Man, what is wrong with you, bro?
Look, man.
We was having a decent conversation.
I was saying that's like American dream, man.
I mean, and you know what? And ain't nothing wrong with that, but that's the thing. People got to understand their own dream is not nobody else's. So yeah. Your own dream, like, you going to have a family, but, like, I want the family. I wanted the same thing. Mm-hmm. But guess what? I'm, like, divorced twice. And, like,
oh, damn. I don't even want to bring
I mean, go ahead.
You ain't tell me all this shit. I thought you was divorced once.
Listen, anything before 25 don't count. anything.
Okay. Mm, right. See, I ain't know these rules.
No, I don't know about that. I was 25 years ago. Oh, my bad.
You heard what the woman said. It don't count.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead. I'm my bad.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But what I'm saying is that everybody, you know, you don't, it's not a particular vision that you can have for yourself through somebody else. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You create and paint your own vision for your life and for yourself.
Okay.
And that's just how it is. The legacy and stuff that you mark ain't going to be, nobody's going to be at your funeral and say, yeah, he's, you know, he went and got a family. Like, like Barack.
CJ was a good man.
He was a good man.
He ran and got a
but he didn't
family
do
like Barack.
Listen,
Obama.
Yeah. There's like,
a dog. Not a cat, but a dog.
Listen, and that's the thing.
So, damn, you ain't going to put kids involved in this? I got a kid. You know, I got a wife and kid. You know what I'm saying?
Now, let me get
to
our point, CJ.
My bad. I'm sorry. Look, man, this is my show. I got
Let him cry if he wants to. It's his show. I'm joking, baby. Go ahead. But no, I was just saying that, you know, a lot of times that's the thing when you have a vision, you know, I had to learn that just because somebody else got this going where they have it going at that particular time, I feel like it was their time to have that.
Right.
You know, so it's always good to look at it like you creating and painting your own vision as you going through the different stages in your life.
Exactly. Everybody have a moment in their life, you know, whether it's like graduation or you got a new job or career.
Everybody's moment is different, like she was saying, you know. Some people might celebrate something that you might not even think twice of.
Right.
You know.
Like, give me an example.
For instance, a lot of people don't even make it to high school.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people might graduate middle school and life might throw them a curveball. So when you talk to them, they might say their middle school graduation was the best thing that ever happened to them.
That's true.
Yeah. Or the kindergarten graduation, you know.
I can't even remember
that. Look at this dude.
I got my little certificate, you know what I'm saying? Walter Crusher stage, you know. I mean, come on. It's some. Look, my daughter said her first words. My daughter, you know, walking and stuff. She's saying her little ABC at 2 years old. You know what I'm saying? That's
everybody
a
got different
as a parent. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody got different.
You got
views,
that
you know?
I'm happy daddy type of. I took a picture of her while I took a video.
Man, I try not to be. I'm not trying not to be over obsessive with my daughter, man.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, but I ain't trying to, you know, plaster that stuff on social media. You know, I'm like, you know, yeah, she learned her ABCs. she walking. you
people
know,
that's do another be doing problem, that.
Though. People be doing that too. I'm like,
that
bruh,
is a problem.
Come on,
I mean,
man.
But then again, if they choose to do that, hey, more power to them. In my opinion, I feel like you shouldn't live your life for social media.
Exactly.
Like, do I have to really prove I did something if I didn't post it on Facebook?
Right.
That's,
so I don't love my brother because I didn't post me saying happy birthday to him on Facebook.
I don't love my wife because I don't post her as much, you know.
Oh, like, man, CJ don't love his wife. I never see him kissing her on Facebook. Like, you know what I mean?
Let me slide his DM real quick.
You feel me? Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Let me slide his DM real quick. Nah. BLOCKET. Block.
Block.
I blocked on her ass. Fuck that. You ain't about to get me in trouble. My wife got my password. Shit.
On your head.
Right. I'm like, who is this bitch? I'm like, I don't know. Shit, I don't know who that is. You know who that is? You know, but anyway.
About to be, yeah, his whole head cracked.
Right.
They gonna say, yeah, we down to one host. One guy celebrating his anniversary, the other one.
One Raw. Featuring Rob and them. Yeah, Rob and them.
Got special guest Malika and shit. But whatever.
I'd be like, his head injury ain't got no better yet.
Right. Oh, man. Man, she put me in critical condition and shit. You knocked me off with the iron and shit. Throw grits on me and stuff. You know?
Throw grits.
Al Green.
Oh, man.
But anyway, you having a back to school thing going.
I don't participate too much in the back to school thing. I like to kind of do my thing when everybody not doing theirs. I'm already be under a lot of pressure to have people come out and support. So I just be like, let me do stuff, something when people ain't really doing.
I mean, that's what's up still.
And nothing wrong with that. You still serving the community. That's
all
that matters.
My next thing, of course, is the one item challenge. You know, I always do that towards the end of the year when it start getting
right.
cold.
Explain that for those who don't know.
So the one item challenge is basically we challenge everybody to purchase one item, one toiletry item, It could be Dollar Tree or whatever, and we typically donate that to like a facility. Last year we donated to Alternative for Girls and also Vista Maria. And then the year before that, we donated to like the Covenant House, but it's been growing significantly. A lot of people been reaching out to me. I ended up linking up with a young lady, Ferris State. Excuse me, you know I love to say something about the Bulldog, but Ferris State that, student, Ferris State student here.
But no, yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
One of my thank you. one of the young ladies that I go to school with, she works at a correctional facility, and the warden allow her and a lot of the employees to donate a lot of things. So they filled my car up full of stuff.
That's what's up.
So I'm trying to get more people being involved in it and knowing what's going on with it. But it's consistently growing. So the ideal is everyone that doesn't have maybe the means to support the organization. We always try to do something that is feasible for everybody, because we understand that everybody have all the same struggles. You know, some people are just floating a little bit above water than others.
Exactly.
So everybody still at points want to be a blessing to others, but you know, they don't know how to show how they can be a community advocate. So they do things like, you know, hey, the one item challenge, you can go to the Dollar Tree. What's a dollar killing you? A dollar and some, you know, dollar and what, 5-6 cents.
Right.
You know, you can just get one item. And so it kind of grew, you know, as people, you know, and it is the funniest stuff is everybody be like, you gonna take my picture? You gonna take my picture? Like taking that picture,
right,
to post
so
that picture.
Is you doing that because you want likes? Or is you doing that because you basically felt like in the bottom of your heart doing this?
Well, one of the things is I feel like I want people to be excited about being involved in something that's positive. So if it was for the likes or whatever, just to show that they was involved, I feel like however they intend is, I hope it is all good. You know, it's from the heart. It's good, you know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it because, you know, we extending a hand to a brother or sister or a young, you know, brother or sister that needs the assistance. Because you got to think about it. If it was your kid out there in the world, you would want somebody to have some type of heart to give. You know, they came across you, to give them at least some good advice, or even if it's a couple of dollars. I mean, I done came out my coat for people like, you know, here you go.
Right.
You know, because to me, it's not even a second thought to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something I'm really passionate about, and it's just like a natural thing for me. You know, then when I got to the realization, like, you know, this is what God, first of all, I'm upset because God didn't give me a voice to really sing, because I like to sing a lot, and it's terrible.
That's not stopping you in 2018.
Right.
That's not stopping you in 2018.
Sing that Kyle song.
Hey, she kind of dope, though. Low
she
key.
Is. I watched her interview.
Yeah, you got to listen to the EP and the album. But what was you saying, sweetie?
I'm just saying. So I just come to the conclusion, like, this is really where I need to be at. Just the growth of it.
Okay.
Being a little bit more, you know, mentally focused, stimulated to go and, you know, go ahead and go through it. Boom. You know what the goal is. You just got to achieve it. Isn't, you know, one thing about me, though, I just be having like this ambition. Like, I can't even explain it. And like, since my father passed away, he passed away March of 2015. He was like one of my biggest cheerleaders. And like, one of the things he used to do is like call me all day long, which used to be like so annoying. Like, I used to be so annoyed. It's 7 o'clock. I'm off and it's a Saturday. I don't want you call. He'd be like, hey, look, bring me a beer, make me a hamburger, and bring me some loose cigarettes. Right? Which you can do.
Daddy.
Yeah. You got to love him. But he taught me like basically everything that I know. Like, he really molded me as a person. He had a lot of things that was unresolved with himself, but I would not have been who I am, like, without him. Like, through all of those things that I went through, going through foster care and all of those things like that, I feel like the things that I had been instilled in me before I left my parents' home is what allowed me to still be able to survive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Even though the situation at home really wasn't good. And that's the thing, what I had to learn, too, as being a parent, is, like, it's not no manual to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the way you raise your kid, anger might not be the same way. And you might question the way that I do, how I do my kids, because everybody is different and how they think, their mindset, everybody is different and how they do things. So I understand that now, because I went through a big thing with my oldest son, because he'll be 19 and I'm 35. So it's kind of like I'm just not getting to be a grown woman for real, you know?
Right.
And on the mental part, like, so now you understand a lot of things that you might have did might have not been the best parenting as far as how you reacted. I allow my emotions a lot of time to respond how I reacted as a parent,
which
clouded my judgment on the things that I did. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's something that I had to accept. And then, you know, one thing about it, I feel like parents don't apologize. It's okay to mess up, but then don't make it seem like I'm wrong for feeling some type of way because you messed up. Because that's just like with a marriage. If you did something that you weren't supposed to do, don't make me feel bad because you did something you weren't supposed to do. I got to feel bad because you did something that you weren't supposed to do that hurted me.
Right.
It don't, when you say it out loud, it like make absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Trying to make thousand excuses like why you should.
The one thing about it is being real and honest with yourself will keep you free from a lot of, I mean, you know, the one thing about it, people will tell me like, you know what, you like my cousin. I love her, but you know, she was telling me, she was like, you're not easygoing.
Bring that butt here, girl. Bring that butt here, girl.
You was getting out of this one.
Bite. Bye.
So, like my cousin, she here with me, but you know, she real supportive and she's always speaking positive and trying to encourage me and stuff like that. Girl. I really be appreciating it, but I be like, let me be my mean self sometime if I want to be mean.
Mean self. Sometimes.
So, we have another special guest here.
Hey.
Malika's cousin.
Hey, cousin.
Go ahead.
Hey.
You thought you was getting away, huh?
You warmed up, not cuz?
A little bit, yeah.
Tell everybody your name.
I like your hair. I love your hair, by the way.
Oh, go ahead and shout your stuff out.
All right, go ahead.
PG, so many styles on Instagram.
Okay,
what
next?
PG, so many styles on Instagram. Okay.
Hold on.
But, yeah, go ahead. Talk about yourself. Look, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Where are you doing here at?
We do it here at.
I'm at the Man Cave on 8 Mile off Hayes.
Oh, I heard that before. Oh, that's in the hood. Yeah, 8 Mile. Okay.
It's a barbershop. It's the braider in there.
East Point side or Detroit side?
Detroit side.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might holler at you. Come up there one of these days.
Trying to get a line up. Yeah.
Rio is real good with the cuts, too. Yeah. She braided my hair, actually.
So. That looked nice.
Okay.
Right there. I love that
do
hair.
My own hair.
Oh, you do your own hair?
Yeah. I don't cut it, but I do the top part.
Okay. Know, so how long you been doing this?
I'd say about 18-19 years.
Ooh.
Now.
Oh, so you a pro at it, huh?
Yeah.
She a professional. She ain't retiring.
Yeah.
At all.
What started you off in doing hair?
I was like born with it. Like hair chose me. I ain't choose it.
That's what's up.
Just been doing it ever since I know.
Just so hair. Was it like you just was playing in somebody hair or you just was like
my dolls?
Sound like Mario.
Your baby dolls.
Just to do their hair.
Sound like Mario a little bit. Come and braid my hair.
Go braid my hair, yeah.
Yep, I was doing all the guys' hair.
That's
middle
good.
School.
That's what's up.
Everybody wanted me in their hair, all of them.
Okay, girl.
So go ahead and shout your Instagram out again.
Yeah, shout it out.
So many styles _.
Oh, that's it?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, that's PG. I'm about to holler at you. So many styles.
So all right, I got another question.
Haze, right?
So yeah, do they got like a little spot where you get get like manicure, pedicure, whatever like that?
No, not inside the man cave. No.
Oh, that's a man cave. Yeah. How about the one next door to it? Whatever. Because I like to get a mani pedi every once in a while. You know, I gotta show love. You know what I'm saying?
Well, fortunately, it's the Detroit area, so you got like 3-4 manicure places all right there on 8 Mile Grass area.
Swanks, whatever that Chinese place is.
You got like 3,
I'm so lost.
Supplies.
I don't really know too much about the East.
Oh, yeah, we forgot.
But y'all helping me, go ahead.
Yep, there's plenty of
East. I don't have Taco Bell either, so you know.
Or Arby's.
Oh, yeah, they don't got Arby's. Oh, dang. They treating us bold, man.
Yeah, they do. It's kind of bad. But you can get any kind of liquor store you want to get.
Oh, yeah, on every
whatever kind of liquor store. And whatever kind of dispensary you want, going to be in Detroit for sure. And that's what I mean by that. How is it we can afford that? But then, like, the school systems and all of that, like, it's that is...
Capitalism. They turned a whole high school into a Myers, Refer.
Yep.
So now you got to think about it. What's more important?
Shoot, they turned a whole middle school to a condominium. Shoot. That, and they turned to a... No. They did it. You know Miller Middle School on the East
Side? Yeah, I know Miller.
Man, they turned that building down. I mean, they turned it upside down. I think it's a program in there now, like a youth theater program.
That's where, remember I was telling you a couple weeks ago, I went to the Miraloo reunion, Black Bottle.
Mm.
Yeah, you must see my granddad
I go there every year because of my grandma.
That mug be jumping, too.
He be jumping. Right. Yeah, my granddad, he graduated from there back in 1954. Shout out to my granddad.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to CJ's grandfather.
It was a high school, then they turned it into a middle school. And then now you just said they turned it into something way totally different.
Yeah. So. It's not abandoned anymore, so thank God for that, man. Shout out to everybody that was, you know, they buy these buildings, they renovate them.
Right.
And, you know.
But, you know, that's cool, what I'm saying. Doing something productive with them is good, but, like, I feel like all the good things that's going on, that's great, but what are the good things that's happening to the people in the community that really need the things in the community? That's what I'm saying. Right. Like, if you can afford to pay $1,200-$1,300 in rent, all those things are great.
Right.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying? If you can afford.
But it starts with us, though.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. That starts
and
with
we
us.
Need more of us. That's what I meant the beginning when I said in collective of numbers, how significant, like, everybody plays a part in the job. Like, so it's like, how is people getting away with stuff when we are the people that make everything go like how it go?
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, you know what? I went to downtown Detroit. I went to downtown last Friday to meet with some friends. We were supposed to trying to get together. We had a meeting, for the homeless. We were trying to feed the homeless. Our goal was to, like, give them, like, a full course meal. And they also give them, like, a little bag of snacks and sandwiches so they could take home with them. Instead of just having, like, a full course meal and send them by their way.
Right.
We also trying to give them, like, supplies, too. Like, toothbrush, toothpaste, and all that.
So, you know what? I could do that where the one item challenge that I could do the one item challenge. The items that we raise could donate, go towards your cause. You get what I'm saying?
That'd be cool.
See?
That'd be cool, too. I got to link
because
with my friends.
They be loving the live outreach. They'll do the one item challenge, and then, you know, they be taking a picture all cheesy and stuff. And I be so appreciative of that because that has been my main motivation of constantly keep going because people will call me up in a minute. Hey, I got some clothes. Hey, I got this. Hey, you know somebody that could use that? I'm like the first person that they come to mind with when it comes to, helping somebody. You know, because it's always somebody you know who got some kids that they might can't afford to buy brand new clothes because, you know, or they got multiple children. And, you know, it's kind of tight. And I know plenty of people that appreciate the help because I go to work every day and I love hand-me-down. I live in a thrift store. I love the thrift store.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. And people are trying to judge people to, you know, because they cheap or they go to the thrift store and stuff. Which I don't understand.
Everything
I don't
you
understand
make the clothes.
That.
The clothes is the person. The person is the clothes. The person is the clothes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, what's wrong with somebody? I don't personally shop at the thrift store, but like
I love it.
Nothing wrong with that. I ain't judging you at all.
I got me an Olivia Pope coat from the Salvation Army, and everybody was saying my coat was cute.
Scandal. Right. See, they ain't know that. They ain't know that.
Oh man!
Until you tell them, like, what?
I was like $2.39, boo. $2.39.
You got it on a good day. You got it on a good day.
Yeah, and it looked in the
Yeah, whole coat.
Look at you. Shout out to you. Sure. Nothing wrong with that.
See?
Yeah.
But anyway, go back to you because you've been quiet.
Yeah, you have.
You
look
have.
At
you
it. Really
so
have.
Where are you from? How old are you?
Eastside.
Eastside. What part?
Like East Warren, Chalmers area.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's a couple of areas, but yeah, that's the one I stayed the longest.
Okay.
I'm 39.
You 39?
Oh, man.
Wow.
She look way younger than that.
Wow.
Yeah. I try to give you like a little, because I know you say you've been doing hair for 18, 19 years, so I was giving you like a bubble of like 30, 33-ish, whatever. You even look younger than 30, to be honest with you. See, that's why.
I was about 32.
Black don't crack, man.
Damn.
Black
no, it don't.
Do not crack.
That.
You look, girl. is you single?
I am single.
Oh, okay.
Ladies, hit her. I mean, okay. Not ladies.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, he off the mic.
What's your sign?
Is this a love connection?
No, it's not no love connection. I'm just saying, you know.
No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
You single too. Shit, I want to put you on the spot too.
Don't put me on the spot.
Yo, let me think. You a Cancer? No?
Yeah, I am.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. See?
Yes.
Yeah, How was you able to just predict that,
He
though?
Knew that because the way she is, she's shy. You very shy.
She ain't shy.
She quiet. Because mm-hmm. I'm a Cancer too, and I have that personality traits too.
It's what you call observant.
I'm both. I'm like neutral when it comes to stuff.
Well, you
like
coming
that.
Out your shell for show.
I've been in my shell for freaking 15, 16 years. Man, I got to college, I was a different
person. Since I've been
knowing
this dude. This dude has never been shy. But he been observant. So that's how I can tell.
I'm very observant.
You gotta know when and when not to talk. You gotta feel something out. Mm-hmm. You gotta, if it's not your thing,
When I first meet anybody, I'm like very quiet, but I'm very observant too. I'm like, okay. I'm trying to pick their brain out a little bit while I'm observing. I'm like, okay, I see the way he walk. I see the way he talk. You know, he seemed like he cool. I may approach him, whatever. I'm let him talk first, though, so I can get a little feel of him. You know what I'm saying? Or her, you know, because I like to feel people out.
People be having me so twisted. Every time anybody meet me, they think I'm mean.
Well, you do kind of have that face.
Don't tell me your zodiac sign. His birthday is March the 27th.
You
ninth. Ninth. Mm-hmm. He's a freak, not Aquarius, because my wife is Aquarius.
Pisces? No, not Pisces.
Not Pisces, no. Pisces, like, early April-ish. Uh-uh. I mean, early March.
Late February, because my
Yeah, late February, early March. Yeah.
Y'all all losing. You just want me to say it?
Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
I'm an Aries.
Aries.
You know.
Asshole.
To certain people, but I'm really cool.
He cool as hell, though. He down to earth. That's like
anytime people get to know me for real, they always pull me to the side. Like, hey, look, man, let me holler at you. Look, I thought you was this. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I was afraid to talk to you. Because of that, you know what I mean? Like, see,
I think
you judging a book
by
its cover.
I think we talked about this on the first or second episode. We used to work at McDonald's together, 6 Mile and Livernois. Shout out to them.
shout out to
everybody. McDonald's.
Old McDonald had a farm. Looking at this, but I remember we had orientation the same day, and I'm like, he looked mean as hell, like a Jadakiss motherfucker.
Hey, I was in my bag though back then.
You
man.
Was. So I'm like, man.
I was a
I'm
little
like,
different. I ain't gonna hold you up.
I'm like, I don't know about this nigga. Then we worked together that first week. That first week, I'm like, oh, this nigga cool as hell. I'm like, okay. He cool. I'm like, okay, we good. So we've been friends ever since. We've been clicking ever since, man. That was like what, 8-9 years ago?
It's been about nine years. That was a minute.
We old, man. We old as shit.
Everybody always judging your man.
Senior citizens. Next episode, talking about senior citizens. CJ?
Yeah. How about my knees cramping?
How old do I look? Be honest.
29.
How old do I look?
About that, 28, 29.
I'm 30.
So
I'm so happy y'all said that, though.
I want her
to
guess my age.
Degree.
Just because listening to your conversation, I know you couldn't have really been, like, extremely
Everybody
young.
Who just see me, they assume two things. I'm between 18 and 22, and I got a messed up attitude and personality for some odd reason.
Because the way you talk, you wise. You way wise.
That's
but
when
no,
they
just,
talk,
just going off
when
for
you
the
just
percent.
Looking.
Yeah.
Or just assuming assumptions.
Yeah.
That's just what everybody come at. You know? Then when I start talking and start keeping it real or, you know what I mean? Giving my views on certain things, mm-hmm. then people start assuming or like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. Now, I thought you was 22, bruh. Like, nah, that ain't what it, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. I ain't tripping
at all.
That black ain't cracking on me. You know what I mean?
So, hey, long as you don't smoke, don't drink, don't smoke no cigarettes, smoking 2-3 packs a day or drinking beers, heavy beers and shit, you be all right.
Sometimes people just don't take care of themselves.
They say, don't blame it all. Because, look, I'm going to have me a drink.
You can do it.
What's your drink? What's your favorite drink?
Yeah, you got to balance everything.
I like Remy or Hennessy. Like, them one of my smooth.
She's trying to get
loose.
See,
that's
loose.
That right there.
What? I see what I know what not to buy you for your birthday. I know what not to get you.
I'm not a drinker or a smoker, so if I drink like some Ciroc or some shit. I'm lightweight when it comes to that.
Little baby weight.
I don't care. You call me all you want
to. You call me
pineapple
you
Ciroc.
Pineapple Ciroc for you?
That do taste good.
Nah, man, I can't do no
When's your birthday?
June 22nd.
Oh, you a June Cancer. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She like hitting the border of Gemini and Cancer. That's what's up. Okay. Yeah. I thought she was going to say July. I'm like, July what?
No, she don't seem like no July Cancer though, bro.
No, nah, she do seem like one because they quiet as shit.
What, July?
Yeah.
Sneakiest.
Hey, we can't be.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But, Emeka, are you dating anybody or are you seeing anybody or you single?
Listen, you know what? Before we close out, because I know we closing out, I kind of am, kind of not. You know, I'm single. So it's like, you know, of course you always, you liking somebody this week, next week, they might not be on the favorite list. That's kind of where I'm at with that. Let's just say this week I'm in and off on the I like somebody note. So yeah, okay, at the moment.
Your foot basically in the dough. And out the dough.
My one in and one out.
Right. It's like a bite, it's like a back door type situation.
Listen, I wish I would have got that on Snap so I could have I know he would have seen that.
It all goes down on the Snap. It goes down on the Snap.
Yes.
Oh, man.
It goes down on the Snap.
I do wanna close with Liv is gonna try to bring some new ideas for next year. I was thinking about doing a like a live outreach, like ride out, kind of like a miniature slow row.
Okay.
I was thinking like before the slow row even was established, I always wanted to do something like that because I remember when I was a kid, that was one of my favorite things to do. Is like ride we be deep, we deep me though, too. Right?
Yeah.
Right? We going to somebody's house, but it's like at least 10 of us. Yeah. So we thick in the street. It's like I want to do something like that, kind of like maybe like put a spin on it, like a networking type of thing.
That sounds dope.
We should walk around the neighborhood or something.
Yeah, like basically
like some
get
March
in
the freedom type shit.
And as it grow, because of course that's the biggest thing is getting stuff out here and getting people to really participate. It's kind of like if you're not a big name, if people ain't really know you like that, it's like,
trendy,
you know, people
are popular on
if you
right.
And the thing is you got so many things where so much negative and you could be like, hey, I know I put stuff up like, hey, I'm trying to do this, or you know somebody doing that, and it'll be like I could not get zero shares of it. But I could put something up that's like fighting or something that might be funny or ignorant, and it's like, and that's typical, people seem to feed off of negative more.
I know.
Oh yeah, we as a whole, I ain't saying us, but we as a whole, we just love it, you know?
Yeah.
That's like love and hip-hop. You drawn to that. That's what I was thinking to myself. I'm like, y'all put in a position where y'all can live better than what y'all do. What's the fight for? I don't understand why everybody don't like nobody. Everybody butt fake. Everybody breast fake. Everybody hair fake. Everybody lashes fake. Like, everybody is somebody that they really not. But y'all in a position where y'all can be role models and different things to other people. Y'all can help other people use that platform, that little bitty platform, to something other, some other type of degree. And people don't do that. Like if I had the opportunity to be able to do that, all the opportunity for me to grow, everybody else that I know trying to grow gonna grow with me.
Right.
That's the point of that.
It's time for us to get up out of here. This is CJ.
Man's Rob.
Your boy Jimmy.
See you next time, guys.